There we go.
Beautiful.
Hey, man. I see it.
You too, man. I appreciate it. Like I was just telling Harold, I had no idea that you were joining as well. So stoked to get to talk to you as well, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Nice surprise.
So let me start off by giving a shout out to my friend, Andrew. I'm sure we all have that friend that always introduces us to new music. And being that this is your fifth album, I have to start by saying this is my first album with you guys, my first time learning about you guys, but completely blown away, man. I just fell in love with The Black and that album and cannot wait for the tour and want to get into it all. And talk to me about making this album. When did you guys start working on it? Because Heaven in Hiding wasn't that long ago, and I imagine you played the hell and toured off, especially coming out of the pandemic, toured the hell out of that. When did you guys actually start working on The Black?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. Really appreciate it to hear how much you like the new album. Actually, Heaven in Hiding was done and released in 2021. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a while ago, but we did extend, you know, the whole album process with acoustic songs and some live sessions and other things. So we actually didn't start writing The Black until the beginning of last year in 2023. We had just come home from a tour with In Flames over Europe.
Oh, wow.
And I think it took us about 8 or 9 months to finish all the tracks for this record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a busy year, 2022, obviously, just because we released in the end of 2021, and nobody really know how things were going to really turn out over the coming year, because we were still, kind of heavily restricted.
Right.
Not maybe compared to how it was maybe over at, where you guys are at, but at least still it was not the same. So when we had the opportunity, of course, we threw ourselves on the road in 22. Like, we did an acoustic tour. We did a headline tour, like an album tour in Europe in the festival season. And then we went out with In Flames. And so it was a lot to just kind of take in. And I think that tour with In Flames kind of marked the, like, okay, this is sort of the ending in a way of the cycle. So
And we have,
I think that actually the In Flames tour is really important for the creative process because of this record, because me and Harold were absolute fans, like massive fans of In Flames. I mean, we still are, but we were teenagers and they were our absolute favorite band. And it was such a full circle thing to go on tour with them and to see your, so to say, childhood heroes on stage every night. And I think that was really inspiring for us to, get the creative juices flowing.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was anything left over from Heaven in Hiding, or was it all brand new riffs and material for this new one?
No, we completely started a new ball with this record, I think.
Yeah, it just has another, I mean, of course, maybe you can hear elements, like trademarks of what Immanence music is, but it's a completely different build. It's just something completely new, something that we never really got into. I mean, we've been in the, in the atmosphere sort of, but I think this is something completely different from the last album.
And a little bit of a concept behind this album too, right? A little bit of a theme tying it together.
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like this is our most concept album we've written, if I can say it like that. Obviously, the lyrical content revolves around depression and mental health and dealing with the darkness we have inside of ourselves, and kind of just exploring that theme to its fullest extent, and just digging deeper and deeper into this black, we call it.
I love it, man. I gotta say, Eddie's hearing your vocals, and I always get bonus points nowadays, especially for metalcore bands where the singer does the clean and the heavy. I feel like there's usually one guy that does one and the other. Harold, I know you chip in a little bit on the heavies too, but rad to see you scream and clean sing and play violin. And that's what blew me away too, man, is hearing the violin amongst like industrial beats and electronics behind it, hearing like the oldest instrument with like the newest instrument was such a cool thing.
Yeah. I think that Come Hell or High Water really kicked off the writing process for this record. And, you know, I started playing a lot with these very industrial kind of sounds, the distorted drums, and kind of kept these coming back through the whole record. So we had something of a basis of a sound while we were making the string arrangements more orchestral. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the key here for me while arranging was to create this very, very cinematic soundscape.
Yeah, it's very cinematic. It's very like, I appreciate an album, a full album in this day and age where everyone just wants to drop singles. Like, no, this is an album. You put it on, you let it play, and you don't touch it.
that's kind of the goal with it, though, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Album format is really important to us. So if you feel like that's how you could experience the new album, that's fantastic. That's like the best critics we can get, really.
Yeah, I mean, I love all the peaks and valleys and different sounds and like the orchestral stuff. And there's still plenty of riffs and double bass to headbang to, as well as the quieter parts and even the instrumental like cul-de-sac. But I've got to apologize on behalf of my radio brethren here in the United States and beyond. It is beyond me how Death by a Thousand Cuts isn't a huge hit across the entire world. That song is amazing and so hooky and catchy and definitely one of my favorites on the album.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, it's I don't know, like for Imminence, I never really, when we dropped a song or something, I would never like expect to get this huge worldwide viral attention or something. I mean, because my experience over all the years we've been in band is that the people who find it for a reason. They find the music and they stick to it. You know, it's something that they find very meaningful, as it is very meaningful to us. And that's sort of just what we always try to focus on. Like, our music is supposed to reach the person that needs to hear it, sort of. But obviously lately, you know, with the new releases since June, when we dropped the first one, I mean, it's been amazing to see. Yeah, to see such more of a global response, really. I mean, because we never really had that before. So it's really something new for us. It is.
It's great. And certainly looking forward to the show, the Black Tour. We have you in Southern California coming up on Sunday, April the 28th at the House of Blues. Also bringing Catch Your Breath and A Virtue along with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the really the first time we're going across the whole country. We had our entry in the United States, well, in North America, because we went up to Canada for two shows as well. We were there in November, December. It was the first time we ever, you know, made it overseas. Like, we've been trying to do that for years, you know, and honestly, like, it hasn't been easy. Nobody actually really wanted to. Actually, this is the true story. We always got turned down. Like, people said, like, no, actually, it's not really the good time for you to do this. We don't feel like you had the right partner, blah, blah, yada, yada.
Wow.
So eventually what we said is, like, you know, we've been doing this for so long. We think that there is an audience for us over there because we see it on social media and so on. So we said, just let's do what we always did. Let's just try to believe in ourselves and do what feels right for us. And we asked our agent to book a headline tour. Just a short one to do like Northeast Coast, and it worked out fantastically well. It was a great success and a wonderful experience for us. So obviously we just felt like we had to just do it again, you know, so that's why we're coming back.
And tell me about the bands you're bringing out with you. Are you guys friends with them, or they just get booked on a tour package, Catch Your Breath and A Virtue?
We actually have known the Of Virtue guys for a very, very long time. We met them several years ago, a show in Sweden.
Oh, wow.
And obviously they came out and helped us a bit on our last tour in America. And we felt like, yeah, why not bring these guys? They are absolutely lovely and, you know, a cool band.
Yeah, and since they've been over here, and we have never been over to the States. I mean, that was one way to connect for us. Catch Your Breath, we haven't been able to meet yet. Had some short interaction with them, like texting a bit with the guys, and so I'm really excited to meet them. Of course, I think they're a great band and with great potential. So really looking forward to the package for sure.
Yeah, great bill you put together, and always a tough part now too with five albums deep, putting together a set list, and especially with the new album like The Black, which I said, like, it feels like it needs to be played in its entirety.
I actually think it makes it so much easier when you're five albums in, because you know exactly which songs from your previous albums that work super well live, and now we can just kind of pick and choose which songs we want to play from the black. So I think it's going to be our best set list we've ever played.
For sure, definitely. I mean, what was quite fantastic last time we went over was that obviously we have a catalog of five albums, and we don't play tracks from maybe all of them, but definitely we pick and choose, and we can really tell that some people have been following the band for a long time, really, because we might play a song that was on maybe, you know, three albums ago or something, and people really know it, and they maybe been waiting for all those years to hear it, but definitely this is the Black Tour, and that's what people are going to get.
Majority of the album, right? These four or five songs, I'd imagine.
Yeah, something like
for
that.
Sure. For sure.
You know, speaking of coming over here to the U.S. and you've been before now, I'm kind of curious, is there anywhere that you look forward to individually coming over for any food or beer or pizza or hot dog or hamburger or burrito or taco, anything in U.S. or even Southern California, more specifically, an In-N-Out burger or...
I mean, I'm so excited to just see more of the country. Obviously, we were just back on the East Coast, and the nature is pretty much the same, even though that was really cool to experience as well. But it's going to be so nice to see a lot of different places. I mean, I think like Nashville is one of those cities that I've always wanted to go to. I'm also a bit of a country fan, so it's going to be, going to be really cool. And I'm definitely looking forward to Philly as well. Want to go to, you know, famous stairs with the where Rocky did his.
Yeah. That's a great, like, that's one of our favorite movies, actually. We tend to watch it like when we're in the studio for some reason. It's always put on a Duke Rocky.
Yeah.
But in general, I mean, I'm just looking forward to being back. You know, I'm looking forward to coming, you know, just to travel around and see new things, go to have breakfast at a diner or something like this. Things you can't do over here, you know. Things that is just, I mean, you might think that we are very influenced over here in Europe by America and so, but it's just different, you know. And in the way also how people are maybe slightly different, at least compared to here in Sweden. I mean, my experience is that in general, people are really, really warm, welcoming, very social in this way. Maybe here in Sweden, like maybe it's the climate or something, but we're a little bit like keep to ourselves, you know. Yeah,
I think you guys are going to enjoy all the different accents and dialects that you're going to get coming across the United States, you know, from the East Coast to the South to the California dude talk, you know, you're going to get the whole gamut. and I'll give you guys a little tip too, since you're playing at the House of Blues of Anaheim, you're basically going to be across the street from Disneyland. And Disneyland has,
I didn't know that.
It has a little downtown area which you can kind of walk through, and there's restaurants and bars and stuff. But if you want to go over there during the day, you'll certainly be close enough and you can soak in some Disney vibe without having to actually go into the park itself.
No way.
Cool.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think I have to do. Yeah, I got to do that for my 10-year-old self, maybe. Yeah. Actually live the dream,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, I've never been to Disneyland. I'm not in Europe either, so
yeah, at least you'll be able to see both of the parks. There's two parks actually over there now, Disneyland and California Adventure, and you'll be able to, you know, see some of the park from the outside and the gift stores and everything, so might be worth checking out. You know, speaking of your time in the States over here, in addition to this tour, also playing some big festivals, going to be at Sonic Temple and Welcome to Rockville while you're out here. And I'm curious, when you guys come over here and play any big festival, really, do you guys take the time and kind of look up and down the lineup and go, oh my God, I can't wait to see them, or I got to work my way to the side stage to see that band? Any of those jumping out at you at either one of those festivals?
Oh, wow.
I usually take a look at that once we get closer to the show day, when we kind of have a bit of a schedule for the day when we're needed, and maybe we have interviews, whatever. So then you can see, okay, what's available when I have a break? Is there a band I would love to see, you know?
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of overwhelming with these lineups that you have on the sizes of these sort of festivals that you have over in America. It's like, everyone are playing. It's like, wow. Like, I mean, well, of course, we have big festivals over here too, but it's really not very often you come across something like this. So it's going to be quite overwhelming for sure. But yeah, I guess we're going to have to make time to see quite a few bands.
Yeah, I think at the Welcome to Rockville, Eddie, you got to get up on stage with the Apocalyptica at some point, man. You guys are going to be right there. Has to happen. Yeah, yeah. Guys, I appreciate all the time. Last thing I got to hit you with, we're an old school radio station. We do a feature called Mandatory Metallic every night at 10 p.m. I imagine you guys are both Metallica fans.
Oh, I listened a lot when I was in my teens, for sure. That was probably my introduction to heavier music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I listened to Metallica when I was a teen. Yeah.
Eddie, you Metallica fan?
I'm going to be a bit controversial, but, you know, Metallica was never really, you know, my favorite band growing up, but I did listen to it a lot because my dad was a massive Metallica fan. Well, so we have it in the family at least.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to hit your orbit being in heavy music. You're bound to come across some Metallica, but Harold, I guess I'll direct this question at you then, since you're more the Metallica aficionado. I've been having this Metallica debate. Me and my buddy have been debating the greatest Metallica album, the best thrash metal album from Metallica. And my buddy and I are kind of on opposing sides. He comes down on Ride the Lightning, where I think it's the next album, Master of Puppets. If you had to choose out of those two, which one would be your favorite of those two?
You know, it's looking at it, I would say that maybe Master of Puppets is a better album. Actually, I would say that, however, there's just something about Ride the Lightning, you know, that it's just they found something completely new. And I think that is there's something that is just slightly more raw and just more unhinged. So the way you put the question, the best thrash metal album here, I would say maybe Ride the Lightning, actually. You know,
yeah.
I would actually say so. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it's 1A and 1B. It's hard to argue. They're both great records. I just cite a little bit more Master because I feel like Ride the Lightning is a little bit, you know, recorded in a garage. I think the sound quality is a heck of a lot better on Master of Puppets, and there's more of a soundscape on Master of Puppets compared to Ride the Lightning, where it's just kind of all out thrash guys in a garage banging it out. But that's cool too. I mean, you can't really argue.
Well, that's what you asked.
Yeah.
You know, what is the best thrash metal album? You want the tape recorder in the dirty garage, you know, with the guy who didn't change strings for the last 6 months, and you know, just that. You know, I don't know. There's just something really, really filthy about that album. But Master of Puppets is kind of the complete form, you know, in that way. And it maybe in that way is a better album. But when it comes down to the dirty thrash, I will say, yeah, you got Ride the Lightning right there.
Bitchin', and just to put a button on it, do you have a favorite Metallica tune we could play for you on Mandatory Metallica?
You could play Creeping Death.
Perfect. Off of Ride the Lightning. That's a staple. Beautiful. Thank you guys so much for the time. Eddie, it was great that you were part of it. Harold, great to chat with you guys as well. And can't wait for the tour at the House of Blues Anaheim.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day and a safe tour. Travels. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now, just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock. Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now, just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. a.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock.